Hey guys, this is Ricky Stewart. Let me make it very clear, I do not endorse the Raiders Review with Blake and the Pork podcast. Go the mighty Raiders.
Blake and the Pork.
Blake and the Pork. Blake and the Pork.
It's Raiders Review with Blake and the Pork.
Hello and welcome to Raiders Review with Blake and the Pork. I'm the Pork.
I'm Blake.
And
I'm Heather.
Excellent. Excellent. And this is the podcast formerly known as the third most popular Raiders podcast on the internet, coming to you, well, at least one of us is coming to you, from the filthiest door and buried somewhere in the bowels of Civic, the location of which we will never reveal, will we, lads?
No.
And brought to you with the highly dubious support of The Greenhouse, the Canberra Raiders' number one fan forum. Get online and get engaging with people who love the Canberra Raiders as much as you, just like the people at Landspeed Records, who you buy stuff from because they love the Canberra Raiders. Big week, lads, big week.
Yeah, well, let's get straight into the news. Albert Hopewade, we've seen players, you know, go back to New South Wales Cup for to get more minutes. We've seen players drop out of the team for after picking up knocks in training. But it's the first time we've ever had a player ruled out due to a bizarre cooking accident.
Yeah, barbecue incidents generally are low. I think you can go across to Paul Vaughan. That, I guess, was a barbecue incident, but of a certain different nature, and that was when he was at the Dragons.
I know. Have you seen the footage? It's on the Sydney Morning Herald website.
There's actual footage.
Of Hopewade's arm. It's burnt.
Oh,
bad,
yeah.
Dude.
No, that's what I heard. Because the initial report said minor burns, and then I haven't seen it, but someone said it's like...
it's major blistering blisters. And it's burnt from elbow to wrist, and it's burnt bad. At first, you know, we all thought, oh, it's a Ricky conundrum. He's just been dropped because of a couple of mistakes. No. He's completely scalded his entire arm. And to his credit, the young fella turned up to training the next day and wanted to train. But the club doctors, he is tough. And we'll get into the game, but I think we might not miss a beat with Schiller. Schiller deserves his chance. But, it's the burns are bad, and I'm glad that he's going to get the treatment he needs and come back next week and maybe with some sage advice from his dad, because we all know his dad has wisdom.
Dad fires up. Another player that's out of the side, Emre Guler, has gone back to New South Wales Cup. Has he been dropped? Apparently he's gone back to play bigger minutes.
Yeah, and I think that's exactly what it is. Think about it.
Okay.
Rotating them. They have to get yards in their legs.
There is some degree of, there is an argument to be made for we've got that many good middles, and outside of, you know, us main two, the others are sort of interchangeable, and you could do a bit of a squad rotation and rotate them in and out. Do you know how many minutes he played last week against the Warriors?
45?
Right? Yeah, well, over 40. And I think he's played close to that every week. So it's not as though he's been... You could argue the case for Mariota or someone who, you know, against West Tigers was the third middle sort of in the rotation. Only played like 15 or 20 minutes. You could make a case for them going back to New South Wales Cup to get more minutes. But with Emre, but
it's a weird situation, isn't it? Because we've got Emre who comes on first. So he replaces Papali'i and he plays bigger minutes. Many people think that was probably Emre's best game that he's played for the Raiders this season.
But many people, that's you.
That's me. I have Levi Island and Emre.
Hey, do you know, I've got a bit of news about Levi Island. I actually watched the game with the Fox coverage, and then I watched the highlights on the NRL app where they had the New Zealand call team. And it's always interesting hearing the name pronunciations from the New Zealand call team, because that's the first time I ever heard Papali'i, first time I ever heard Rapana, and I realized...
They say Levy.
Levy. Yeah, Danny Levy, like as when the Levy breaks. Sorry, mate, I'll let you continue, but yeah.
Don't be sorry. Well, actually, my son's name's Levi, so maybe I'm pulling back the curtain and revealing one of the reasons why I like Danny Levi. But in Hebrew and in certain parts of Central America, they'll say Levy as opposed to Levi. But and we'll get to Danny Levi and the way that he played and a lot of the detractors and come for me people. But Emre, it's really interesting. It's like Emre, I thought, and I'd love to hear your opinion, I thought that was his best game this season for us. And he has been dropped. And then if you go back to Adam Mariota, he was probably our best bench player before he was dropped. So it makes you wonder, are they trying to rotate the Mariotas, the Goulas, maybe the Salo, bring in maybe a Mooney or a Horse Brassoon? Because we know Horse and Mooney are doing big meters and big minutes now in Cup. But Mariota has played first grade as the second sub. And now we're keeping Salo as the second sub. So Tapani will start with Papali'i. And it looks like Mariotto might actually replace Papali'i. And I wonder if that's got to do with foot speed and looking at the pack that we're playing. And we know we're going to come up against probably a slower pack. And we'll get into the game later about what the Sharks have been trying to do this year and what I think they've been successful at. But I've been really underwhelmed with the Sharks this year. And I'd be surprised if we don't win 13 plus, even 20 plus. I have a feeling we can blow this side apart.
I like it.
We'll get to that later.
I like it.
All right. So there's your rough bet of the week, people. Get on the Sharks at 13 plus to beat the Raiders on Matt's mock.
Nah. No chance. Another player, so you sort of touched on it there, Big Red. A lot of people were surprised we went to New South Wales Cup when he returned from suspension. And I watched the Cup game against the Warriors and we were all over them. They're without Volkman this year, but we lost to that side in New South Wales Cup three times last year. And the Raiders were convincing winners in that game. And Big Red was outstanding. So too was
Who was our best middle in that game? Because I only saw the highlights and it's hard to tell.
You were just about to say Sasagi, and Ryle, he's not exactly a middle. He's edge. He was fantastic.
Yeah, no, Sasagi was good, but no, the best middle. Well, it depends what you're looking for because Mooney, played really well, ran hard. With Horsbury, you could see, he's got a bit more footy about him. You know, he's turns his back, looks at the offload, a bit more ball play. So they're different, and that's kind of why I would like to see maybe Horse back in the side this week because he offers a point of difference from, pretty much all the other props.
Would you bring in Mariotta and Horse and drop Salo as well as Gula? Or would you leave Salo leave out Mariotta?
I thought that's what would happen.
Personally, I'd love at one point, and we'll get into this later, but I'd love to see Mooney, Horse and Mariotta all given a crack. And then
they probably will be.
But all given a crack on the bench. At the same time.
Tim, how's your prediction for Big Red keeping his Queensland spot looking for this year? Do we need to have another bet?
Well, who's replacing him?
In the Queensland team?
Yeah,
he was only in there. He was only in there because there were like four people injured.
Yeah, well, he's Big Red. He deserves to be in any Queensland side that doesn't take Big Red doesn't want to win. They don't want to win.
They lost.
Did any of you guys watch? Yeah, they lost. Did you guys watch the?
Brad Clyde and Laurie Daly lost their first bloody Origin game too. Are you going to come back and say they weren't good players?
I love you, Pork. But let's not put Big Red in the Brad Clyde, Laurie Daly like status.
You wait and see. Big Red is going to come up and he'll show you all. That's what he does.
I'd love nothing more. And did you watch the face-to-face?
I wondered about how long. I think that was a long time ago. Like, in terms of kind of, I think that was probably filmed just after Christmas or, or something like that. It didn't seem like it was that current to me. And you kind of wonder what, Teddy had his best preseason. He was in great condition. Yet when he returns, he has to go via New South Wales Cup. In Cup, he had a bit of a soft belly, but he always looks as though he has a bit of a soft belly.
Yeah, well, he spoke about that and putting on the weight, having grown up playing multiple sports. And I just love getting to meet his dad and his family and how much his dad cares about his own son and then also the club. And those things are – and Ricky cares for that too. So at some point we know Big Red's going to get back into first grade. And Paul knows Ricky and those players better than we do. So I'm curious what he thinks.
Look, here's the thing. Everyone keeps referring to Big Red as having a gut. Big Sexy is having gut. That is not a gut. That is a drop tank for a love machine right there. That's what that is. And that's what it should be regarded as. And he needs that extra stuff just so he can keep on going. Look, I don't think I've ever seen the side more bonded. Sometimes when you're in the tunnel and you're looking around, there's a schism between the reserves and the first grade team who's turning around, who's talking to whom, who's still there at the end of the game, who played Reggie's, and around, they were all there. Every single one was there. They were all mixing. They were all talking to each other. It looked good. There's been times when I've gone down there and, you get a feeling that players in first grade don't know who the players in reserve grade are.
Josh Dugan and Todd Carney weren't talking to anyone in reserve grade.
Yeah, that's right. That wasn't there. So,
Dugs, that definitely applies to, but Todd Carney, not to the same.
Nah, but
Dugs wasn't for sure. And Fergo weren't. But what's really amazing is, and I do wonder this, and this is something that I'd like to ask both you guys. I wonder if, and who knows, Ricky probably doesn't even think about this, but you think about the body shapes and you hear about how Souths don't have different body shapes in their forward pack and how the Raiders, we kind of do. Like, we've got Adam Ariotta and we've got Matt Horse coming in. Like, if you're thinking like for like and you want to have different shapes coming off the bench, you know, I couldn't think of any different things to tackle than maybe a Horse and a Mariotta or a Mariotta and a Mooney, you know? Mm. And I wonder if that starts to come into their thinking. If we've got, we don't just have a 17 anymore. We have a solid, you know, 30 players to pick from. And Tarpany, and we have probably, you know, six that are always going to get picked, or maybe 10, you know? But it, when it comes to the middle rotation, there's only two. And the rest, I'm sure they're trying to be fluid. I'm sure they're trying to allow the chance for... And I'd love to see Mooney up next week. I want to see that kid. And not because of...
His old man wants to see him get a crack as well.
Yeah. And, you know, like... And the guru's been saying he's the best player since, the, you know, 10 years ago.
Like I say, we need to go back and look at his play the ball speed. That'd be the stat I'd be interested to see. Because remember, I was talking about that the other week, how... Yeah. And I don't know, like... In terms of if you pick a side on who can make the scariest face walking out on the field, he's the first man picked every week. But I wonder if it's his how quick he's played the balls are. That's the only thing I've only 100% reason.
Man. Look at why sides move on Trey Mooney. No, not Trey Mooney, beg my pardon. Why sides move on David Clemmer and why Panthers are successful. They look at play the ball speed. And that's when we get into this game on the weekend, the Warriors game. That's when the play the ball speed got blown out of the park because that referee lost it. Yeah. And suddenly it was a
terrible
performance.
He's a terrible referee. The first name that would be on my team sheet every week is Jordan Rapana. And tremendous news. He's playing his 200th game for the Raiders this weekend at Shark Park. And 34, turning 35 soon, still going strong. He puts it down to a diet of red wine and McNuggets.
20-pack of chicken McNuggets. Now, I've done that once before, and it is hard work. It is hard going. Even for the pork, that's hard work.
Yeah. And what he didn't mention the durries, Matt.
He loves a durry, and he loves a 7-iron from about
a hit of golf. Some of my mates play golf in the same sort of comp that he plays. I reckon he's outstanding.
Yeah, good on him, man.
Yeah, I think he's the best of all the Raiders players. I think he might be the best golfer. Papa's apparently surprisingly good too.
If you don't love Jordan Rupp, I don't love you. And this is a shout out because a couple of people have listened to some other podcasts this week. I haven't. If you're bagging Jordan Rupp enough for putting his hands on his knees when he's trying to catch some oxygen, get stuffed, you sons of bitches.
Yeah, get stuffed. Get totally stuffed.
This kid played, and he's not a kid. That's not only arguably one of the better games Jordan Rupp has ever played for us, the better halves, that first half. It's arguably one of the best first halves we've seen from a fullback in a green jersey for 5 years. Honestly, we could have easily been down 18-0. And I watched the game again today. They didn't bomb as many tries as the Sydney media will want to tell you. But if you need to know anything about how much Jordan Rapana bleeds green, it's that repeat set that New Zealand Warriors got when DWZ with a soul glow makes that huge break down the right-hand side. Yeah. And we are gassed. He makes the tackle. He gets back. He makes another tackle. He gets back. He's there in the defensive line making the tackle on the fourth. And then he catches the ball on the sixth tackle, runs up to the 20-meter line, taps it, and makes 20 meters. It is the epitome of what we want from our players, man. Like, And I reckon the other players looked at what he did, and I'm sure the coaches spoke about it at halftime. And that is everything that this season epitomizes. And if you're bagging Jordan Rapana for trying to catch some air and lock oxygen in his lungs, get stuffed.
Go to hell. Go to hell. Yeah, the thing about Jordan Rapana, right, is that, I sledged him a few seasons ago and said I basically thought he should come back through Reggie's. I thought he was old. I thought he was past it. Definitely got rubbed in my face because he got the Raiders review with Blake and the Pork Player of the Season Award, as well as getting the Meninga Medal Award. And I had to give the concession by season's end that, in fact, yes, he was one of the two greatest Raiders wingers of all time. So, you know, that says a lot. When someone actually makes you back down on a statement that you had and a feeling that you had by publicly making a complete goose of you, you know, well done him. Well played him.
All right, then. One of the two? How about one of the one?
Yeah. He's I love Chica. more than any, well, as much as I was at SEFA for all those games. And every time Chica got the ball, the whole crowd stood, you know, and were just waiting for something incredible to happen. But Rapa's done more different things, you know, drag the team on his back, put his head, you know, where other people wouldn't put their feet. He's incredible. Yeah, and as good as Chica
had
was.
Had Proctor put his hand where other people don't want to put it.
Chica Ferguson was one of the greatest, you know, like highlight reels you'll ever see, like from the Larry Corowers to the Martin Offias to, you know, like Nathan Blacklock, like just absolute, like electric football players that when they touch the ball, we've still got them in the league, you know. The Hammer does it. But what Rapana does and what he does for that jersey, and he wants to live in that city after, he's the greatest winger we've ever had.
Yeah.
But and it's not even a conversation anymore, man. Like what he did on the weekend and how gassed he is and how he goes again and again. And I'd love to see him play fullback for the rest of the year. I don't think he can keep it up. But if you watch
Cup, We'll see.
Yeah, no, because but we have a guy ready to step in when Rapa's like, okay, let's just.
But is he? But is he ready? This is my thing. Is he ready?
Here's the thing, right? That was the best game Rapa's played so far this year. He's getting fitter every week. He's getting better every week. You know
what
I mean?
That's true.
And then there's people on another podcast who want to buddy drop him from fullback now. Why now? He just played his best game.
No, I wouldn't now. And I'd let him
watching it.
I'd let him decide when he wants to step out too. Like you're like, mate, if you want to go the whole season, do it. But the great thing is we're watching also a younger kid in playing his 12th, 13th, 14th game against grown men, and he's only getting better as well.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm not trying to ask Rapa to step down. I'm just saying.
Here's the thing, right? Rapa will get possibly injured or perhaps even more likely suspended at some point, maybe for a game or two, which will give...
Have you seen the niggle this year, though? Have you seen the dirty niggle? I haven't seen any of it.
No, he's definitely there's a little bit. There was a little
his
bit after.
Precedes him like today in that game on the weekend where he hit one. Jackson. He didn't even hit him. He didn't even hit him in the head. He just hit him on the shoulder. But
And we gave a penalty. Yeah, I wasn't quite sure what that was for. But anyway,
no, there was a lot of things we weren't. What other news do we have? We better move on.
It's time to bring back the segment that's returned this year. We didn't think it'd be back, but
here. Peter Watch.
Peter Watch. Tino's done his knee. Dez is proving to be a disastrous head coaching appointment at the Titans.
We knew that 5 years ago.
and they look set to get the spoon. I'd say they're my favourites now to get the spoon, absolutely. And Tino being out for them is, you know, it's like us losing Tarps, I'd say. David has got until round 10 to take up his deal for next year with the Titans, or he can walk. He can walk. And Brent Reed has wasted no time.
Thank you, Reedy, for giving us hope.
He's linked us again.
Is it hope? You know what's fascinating? As Raiders fans, as we just get dished, and you can so tell that the Queensland journos that jump on, it's Reed, it's that other guy, I forgot his name, but they know the managers up there, and the managers are pushing this narrative. It's crazy that all of these players have get out clauses. All of the players.
That's why I wouldn't want to sign him.
Around 10, around 12.
He's got more than anyone.
He must.
I wouldn't sign him now because you wouldn't want that circus at your club. You know, the way we're building a squad. A new team where it's team first, you know, and there's no one individual bigger than the team. You don't need that circus, that sideshow.
That one egg won't ruin that. And if we've gone after him twice, I think we'll go after him again. I mean, I said to us all on a thread 3 months ago, I don't want him anymore because I love Hosking. But throw that weapon into this team and you can, you know, if you pull him in line a little bit, it changes our dynamic on both edges, depending on how you want to play him. And I also think, I mean, let's put it out there. We'll put a Twitter poll out to our fans or what are we, fans? To our
subscribers?
Our six friends. And we'll see if you want to sign Fifita or not and whether the Fifita watch should keep going because I'm torn. Yesterday, I'm like a no. Today, I'm like, hell yeah, let's sign that.
Yeah, well, it's interesting. If you did sign him for next year and you kind of go, well, Whitehead's going to need to be replaced, you know. does he come and take the White? Because Whitehead's going to be off the cap next year, and I can't seriously. We'll get to it when we announce the team, but I don't think Nick Kotrick's going to be here next year either. So no, those two, that's a fair bit of cash, you know. And we've never
still got the White and money.
Well, I guess the White and money must have gotten some of it went on Smithies, some of it went on Hosking, and then you know you've got guys like Strange and Chevy Stewart and stuff. They all would have got upgrades. So yeah, but there's got it. There's definitely still money in the cap, you know, presumably for this year, so that we could, you know, take someone. We could get Fifita after round 10 or before round 10 or whatever the hell it is.
Someone would have to go for that to come in. Like that's not sitting off the cap at the moment, that amount of money.
But if you listen to all the bullshit that goes through the Sydney media, right? And like Paul Kendall talk about it, and he did the other night, he's like, oh, you spend it on a halfback and you want to spend it on a spine player. They're not around. They don't exist.
No. Well, that's the problem. But I still think we'll, in our next segment, I still think South Sydney should have spent their money on someone other than Jack Whiten.
I potentially agree. But if we're looking at the way that we're building our club, and forget Jack, and we had a little spat this week, you and I.
A bit of a spat. We'll get to it later. Dummy spit, people. Anyway, yeah, we'll get to it later.
We'll get to that. But I love the way that we're building our club. We're investing in potential, and we've done that with Mooney, Puru, Trevelyan, Strange, Chevy Stewart, James Schiller. Now everyone could talk about Sanders. Like that's a solid group of players.
Sasungi looked pretty good too.
Sasungi that we didn't expect to start looking like promising first graders until 2025, 2026, and it's starting to happen. So if those fruits start to blossom,
there's one person in this podcast who did say top four for us this season at the beginning of the season, right? And I said the depth was looking as good as I'd ever seen, right? So when
cut
you say
that off because
we're
still not making top four.
You can say that. We're making top four. Tim, I'm just telling you now.
Tim, you say these things every year. So like occasionally you're going to get it right. But you do say that every year. So it's not like this is some outlier or... So let's go into the news segment anyway. We've sort of alluded to it. We've danced around it. Hit it, Tim.
Jack Whiten, watch!
Controversial news segment. I flagged this on
so
Twitter during the week. And some
and
people...
you got body slammed.
Oh, I was told I was a disgrace and, you know, show some class. Yeah. And yeah. I also did a post that didn't
age. You smelled ugly. No one likes you. You don't have any friends. All things I agreed with.
Anyway.
But yeah.
I also did a post on the weekend about 10 minutes into the South's Roosters game. They had a missing poster with a picture of Jack Whiten on it. He ended up actually having quite a good game for South's. One of
the
few...
saw the highlights and it looked like he had a shit game to me. But
nah, it was in terms of effort. His effort was good. He didn't have
his
an amazing
always
game.
Good.
Yeah, none
his
of
effort's
but...
always good. Let's pull the curtain back. Hey, Paul, what year was it that Bradley Clyde and Ricky Stewart went to Canterbury?
1999.
How old were you, Blake?
He was 29.
Did you hate Ricky Stewart and Bradley Clyde for going to Canterbury?
No, because they were forced out of the club.
They were forced out of the club. Kevin Neal rejected them.
I don't hate Jack, but the difference is, look, at the end of the day, he got offered the biggest deal in the club's history. He turned it down to supposedly go to another club for hundreds of thousands of dollars a year less. You know,
we all know that's bullshit. He's getting more money.
I don't know that he is. And
George Rose is paying him more money, mate. We all know it. Come on.
And
we'd just like to remind you here at Raiders Review with Blake and the Pork that myself and Blake do not necessarily subscribe to some of the opinions that are said here. So that's not my comment there. Your words, not mine.
And I'm not allowed to have a lighthearted crack at the dude. I mean, I haven't said that I hope that, you know, he breaks his neck or anything else. I mean, there's going to be a segment called Jack Whiten Watch on the show this year, henceforth, because at the end of the day, most Raiders fans will be watching South's games with particular interest to see how he goes. And if South Sydney get the spoon, I don't think that many people will be upset. As long as we finish higher than South's on the ladder, I think most Raiders fans obviously would be happy. And look, the whole South's thing, I think, is it's a bit obscene that they signed him because, you know, they've already got half a dozen stars, right? And actually, if you look at their team, I think the biggest issue with their team is they've got half a dozen really good players on big money, and then they've got another half of the team are just absolute crap.
Yeah, mate. The biggest issue is There's two things with South. So, and but I'd love to, if you can try and remind me about a question that I want to ask our listeners. There's another question I think would be really interesting. But the biggest issue with South, right? They've got no middles. They'd be better off buying Horsburgh, Gula, Solo, Mariotto, Trey Mooney than Jack Whiten. The other thing is, if you look at the top six fullbacks in the competition, they make between 290 to 230 meters a game. Latrell Mitchell makes 110.
Yeah.
So what that does is, if you're gonna decide that your fullback is a strike weapon, not a meter eater, like say Dylan Edwards, who makes 280 meters a season per game, something like that, you're then relying on your middle forwards to make up that meterage.
Yeah.
Cameron Murray is gassed every game.
Well, so Cameron Murray and Jack Whiten are the only two that South's fans thought actually looked like they, you know,
had a crack.
Yeah.
Because they have to do everything. And if you're a prop at Penrith, all you have to do is tackle and make one run a set, not three runs a set.
One thing I'll say about the Jack Whiten, South signing Jack Whiten, though, is though they didn't sign Jack Whiten because that was what they needed. They signed him because they could, you know. And it's just like, it's like someone just taking something just because they can off this other crappy little club. Well, you've got this thing here and we'll just cherry pick it and we'll add it to our team. And we'll make our already dynamic left edge, in theory, even more dynamic and score more, even more points. But like, the left edge wasn't what Souths needed to strengthen. You know, they needed a middle. Yeah, they could probably have picked up Aiden Caesar for 250, 300 grand, which is what he went to the Tigers on. You don't think after watching him...
And did he look good last weekend?
Exactly. You don't think Souths would look better with him there? You could have signed him and Emre Guler or some other, you know, a couple of middles on 200,000-300,000 a year. Half the team are like struggling New South Wales Cup top players. Anyway, enough of Jack White.
How good is this lesson that we're learning, though? And I've remembered it. How good is this lesson that we're learning about a club? Is that something that you posted, actually, Blake, about you actually build a proper club around a halfback and props?
Yeah.
It's true. That's what you build it around. And I'd love to know how many Raiders fans would prefer Jack and South to be successful or to tank. You know what I mean? Like, I get it. We don't want them to finish higher than the Raiders. And I get it. We don't want them to beat the Raiders when we play them in round 21 or whatever it is at Bruce Stadium. But do you want them to succeed and then, like, maybe lose to us in the grand final? Or do you want them to lose every single game? Because when Johnny Bateman touches the ball, the crowd boo him.
Yeah.
And I know.
Not me.
And Not me either. And I know John, and I actually want him to succeed. And that whole thing got really messy at the end. But he fought for our club and changed our club.
I loved him.
And I still love him. And I wonder, as Raiders fans, the guys, you know, the people listening to this, the, you know, 800 or so or 1,000 or so people that we have listening, how many want him to succeed and actually but not beat us, you know? Or how many are like just death riding him? Because I think he deserves the previous, you know, where it's if it's someone else, like when Dugan went, screw you, mate. I hope you lose every single game.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, but here's the thing. And Blake made this point, and he's absolutely spot on, right? And I hate, despise agreeing with Blake. But I thought the people who came out and had a go at him were utterly wrong. The idea that you can't actually point at someone who turned down the biggest offer that we'd ever made in the history of our club and went and said, I want to have a go at winning a premiership.
Yeah.
The idea that we would be overjoyed about that and not at least be able to say something tongue-in-cheek about what's going on in regards to that, that's ridiculous. I'm sorry, I don't want Jack to fail. I don't wish him ill. But if they don't win the premiership this year and, in fact, they don't get in the finals and we go all the way, forgive me if I have a bit of shameful joy on that one there. And that's not down to Jack. That's not down to Jack. That's just down to the situation where it was literally portrayed as the Raiders failing, us getting raided. We were going to fall apart. It was the death of everything. And what's turning out is anything but. Anything but. So the fact that we can raise that a little bit, we're not allowed to raise that. Well, this isn't even rugby league anymore.
Well, that's why you should be proud, because our club has a culture that transcends our, you know, inverted commas, best player.
Yeah.
And right now we're proving that, which I think is amazing for this club for the next 5 years, is because we've lost, our two, you know, supposed stalwarts last year, Jack and Jared. And now as there's more cohesion in the way that we play. We look tighter. We look more committed to each other. We look happier, you know?
There's a plan. People are following the plan. Whereas Jack's, you know, he's not a follow the plan sort of guy. He's a try and pull rabbit out of the hat sort of guy.
Yeah.
Sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't work. And, you know, it's not
the
way we're playing now. And we're playing to our strengths.
We're playing to a structure and a plan, and it's clear. Now, we should point out to you here that we are still open for sale here. If you want to come and sponsor us, and particularly our most favorite segment for anyone, please, we're for sale. You want us to do something ridiculous? We'll do it. You want me to shave my head off? We'll do it. We are for sale. I'll do it. You know?
I'm for sale. Neither Matthew or I are shaving our head. You can shave your head because, let's face it,
if you want Blake to walk around Brew Stadium and just as tidy white is, if you give us enough money, he'll do it. Guarantee it. He'll do it. He's for sale. Everyone has their price. Anyway, it's time for Ask Cloud of the Week.
All right.
And who have you got for us this week, Balarco?
I'm going to lead it off. Blocker Roach. My God. We had to cop him in the commentary 2 weeks in a row. He was a cheerleader for the Tigers the previous week, and then we had to sort of listen to him ride the Warriors the whole way. But the thing that gets to me about him the most is not that, you know, he's cheering for the other team. It's just he's just totally devoid of any insight, any interest. Normally in the commentary team, you have your lead caller, and then you have, your color commentator who can explain to you what's happening, what you've just seen. Maybe someone like Cooper Cronk, you know, they'll explain some intricacy of some move or something that's happened. You get none of that with Blocker. You just get the same half a dozen cliches just rolled out in a varying order each weekend. Yeah, he's terrible. I mean, I don't know if you heard the bit, Matt, where he said, I think a big part of the Warriors' game plan is to get Tarpany on the ground. It's like, that's incredible insight.
It's true, though. I mean, it is. It's just like isn't saying that, isn't a necessary that, part of being alive isn't is that, breathing.
Isn't that the plan with it? I know Tarps is very good at staying on his feet, but isn't the plan on every forward to put them on their back, essentially, when you
get them on their back?
Yeah.
You got to turtle them. Yeah,
but particularly him, because it's so difficult to do. All right, Matthew, who have you got? We know Roach is an ass clown. Who have you got, Matthew?
I'm trying to go back and find the video referee from that game, because that's my bloody ass clown.
Yeah, but I don't know who it was, but... Well,
or even the douchebag that sent every decision up as a no try. I just
yeah.
And then I'm such a desperado when it comes to the Raiders that I watch all the rest of rugby league journalism for the weekend, thinking, you know, some Buzz Rothfield or Paul Kent's gonna see what I saw and think, ah, poor Raiders. And then
do you know who did see what you saw and wrote an article about it? Is Jim's mate Eamon Tiernan.
He did.
He wrote an article saying, as the first time I think Tim and Eamon have ever agreed. This could be a good opportunity for you to...
No, we agreed we didn't want to hang out.
The bridge. Facebook friends.
To extend the hand of peace. So has he blocked you? Do you want me to send him a DM on your behalf?
No, absolutely not. My life has been a lot better without him, and I think he'd probably say the same thing. So let's not go there. Look, he did
I also
that,
feel like... I feel like, just to finish my point, I also feel like Raiders fans are kind of sick of being called whiners because we don't get the calls. But that bloody call against Tarpany was ridiculous.
It was outrageous.
It was outrageous. And there are 50-50 calls that don't affect the game. And there's no reason to get too upset. The Ethan Strange no try call, I thought was a try. There was that white light on the sponsor signing behind, and I couldn't see separation. And
it was definitely a try.
We've spoken about this on the podcast before. Two seasons ago, the NRL changed the rule when it comes to grounding the ball that you don't need to have control with your hand as long as you don't have separation. And it was to come down to a grubber try that happened at Penrith. And suddenly you see these rules where the ball rolls up the wrist, right? That's all that happened in that Ethan Strange try. But I'm not going to complain about that, because a minute later, they did a forward pass and Matty Tomoko scored. That's exactly what happened with the Jackson forward break on the Elliot Whitehead miss. They didn't take the points off the penalty for the Rapana foul play. And Adam Fanua Blake runs through on the Ethan Strange overread. So... a try scored by the team 2 minutes later. That no call against Tarpane changed the match.
It won the game because they scored again. The next try they scored was still off the back of that possession. And the field they got a penalty. That granted them. They got a
we would have gone up by 10.
They got the ball back. Then they got a penalty. They went up there and it was there. We were up by 10 at that stage. But an ex-Origin player and first grade player from many years ago who I know sent me this message in regards to it. He said, refs now automatically go no try to cover themselves and the video has to overturn it because it takes the pressure off them. And I think you'll find the more experienced refs, like your Adam G, your Jared Sutton, your Grant Atkins, your Ashley Klein, won't do it. But the ones who are less experienced will do it. In that
I haven't seen a try go up as a try this year.
No.
I think they've all been no try.
No, there's been quite a few.
There's been quite a few, but then have been subsequently overturned. And some of them last weekend were overturned on situations. I thought, you cannot overturn for that.
If you're playing bingo at home.
I'm not talking about the Jake Szybkowicz one.
If you're playing bingo at home, you can mark down your pork name drop square. Although he didn't actually name names of who the name drop was, but we all know it was Sam Bacco he was talking about.
It was Sam Bacco. What other bingos are there?
Do I need to yell out a window?
That one hasn't been checked in a long time.
What's going on in NRL? There you go.
It doesn't happen as much now these days because you don't drink as much.
I don't.
My ass plan of the week was going to be the video ref, but then I might have got a bit tired and emotional after that last Friday night and had a few, shandies, and maybe tweeted a few
nuggets.
Things.
20 yeah, nuggets. 20.
No, it's Friday night, mate. I'm not going easy on a Friday night.
Bottle of red wine?
It was rosé, mate. It was
rosé. Pack of durries?
No, not a pack of durries.
Just you and Rapana hanging out.
I'm clean. But I went off and then I got some responses back basically saying my tears were very salty, et cetera, et cetera. And I thought, yeah, you're right. The score's on the board. They acquitted themselves well. Yeah, okay. If those decisions, so that decision in particular goes away, I think we win and I think we win fair and square. But at the end of the day, it's a decision that went against us. The result's on the board. And so I'm calling myself the ass clown for getting so carried away and getting down into that thing where, you can sound like that sad sack who blames on a decision. The reality is it was a very tight match in which we acquitted ourselves well.
Yeah.
There was a decision which I truly think should have gone our way. But when you get down into a match where it is that even, you're gonna lose. And we needed to be a little bit better than we were to make sure
some of our execution
the thing that cost us the match.
Some of our execution wasn't as good as it was the previous 2 weeks. You know, the completion rate, while still good, was down on the first 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. We did well though, because the Warriors came out of the blocks a million miles an hour and there was an incredible pace and I was worried we were going to get overrun. With the video ref stuff, it really feels as though when the video ref's musing, it feels as though they're really trying to find evidence to support whatever decision it's been sent up as opposed to adjudicate. I mean, I've said this all along, why don't they just send it up? It's what they used to be, where they just send it up to the video ref. But then they said
it just took so much time because they had to actually look at every single thing because it wasn't something nominated. But now you're finding.
But you see what they ruled on, right, for the Tarpany no try was not what he sent it up as, because he tried to say that it was no try because RTS had knocked it on first, then regathered, and then when they did the slow mo, right, they said there was a knock back by both RTS and Rapana,
They also said that RTS touched it.
Yeah.
No, Tarpany touched it. That was a try, man. Like, what?
What's that real speed?
Getting into the double negatives when it comes to cricket.
Even if it wasn't a try, and I think it was, RTS knocked it on. Like, it had to be our ball, and we didn't get the ball. And it was like, what the hell was going on? Like, it was just bizarre. Anyway, apart from that, there was something that made me a little bit mad. And you might say it grinds my gears.
You know what really grinds my gears?
You know what grinds my gears?
Cauliflower.
No, I love cauliflower. Just started getting into baked cauliflower and it is really, really good. I mean, I'm not one of these people who goes into cauliflower rice or stuff like that, but
people that don't indicate on roundabouts.
Oh, my goodness gracious me, people. What, do you think those indicators are bloody optional for you or something? Do you think you deserve a saloon passage so we just all have to guess what you're stinking doing? Yeah, I don't like that.
Yeah, but that's not it.
All right. No. What grinds my gears is people, our supporters, ragging on players either in our side or outside of our side because they think someone else should be in or someone should be out, and therefore the person they want out or think isn't as good, they rag on to justify the other person coming in.
Can I say something?
Yeah.
Wait till they go to Souths, then rag on them all you want. But when they're playing for us, we do rag on one guy.
We still got some people going out about. I don't. We still got some people going out about Danny Levi not being there and calling out for sort of stuff. But they're using a justification. They don't think this person's any good for the other person to come in. You don't have to say the person's not good. You just have to say, I think this person's good and I'd love to see them get a chance. Do you not think Ricky knows that? Of course he bloody knows that. He wants them all to be good. He wants them all to do well, but he can only pick 17. And that's the way that goes. And look, I know what you were talking about. You were talking about Kotrick. Until he drops that ball, and that was really unfortunate, he wasn't doing too badly. I felt really bad for him.
That drop was inexcusable, and it led directly to a try. And look, I don't think it was a bad thing that he dropped that kick, but I think it would be good to see James Schiller maybe have a turn at playing his position because he's been doing really well in New South Wales Cup.
I agree with that, but I want Schiller to have a go.
Here's my prediction, right?
If you were Geordie Rapiner and you've caught everything under the sun,
yeah, and you've busted your
entire
ass
game, and then even Hopewade and Savage, you know, like worked their guts out, and then it's like only the third or fourth catch that. And it was a shitty kick, man. Like,
there was nothing to it.
It was bad.
Yeah. He was thinking about what he was going to do next. Do you think he wanted to drop it?
Of course.
Do you think
he
didn't want to find a hole and crawl into it and die when he did that?
No, but it's not about intent. It's about execution. And under the
Yeah, I know.
And professional sport is about executing under, like, you know, like high intensity and
no, that's true. But the people who were basically bagging him and having a go, he didn't want to drop it. Did I want Schiller? I've been wanting Schiller in for ages, right? But the idea of bagging at someone in our squad for something unfortunate, I don't want us to be that. Anyway, grind.
But his effort throughout the game was not great again. I mean, it was adequate. You know, he's been adequate in recent times. But you look at the effort of a Rapp and you look at the effort of a Hopper, you know, who gets criticised a lot. But my God, he gives everything. You look at the effort of Xavier Savage, right? His effort this year is through the roof, and he's absolutely putting Nick Kotrick to shame. And you look at that effort that he made to chase down Adam Fanua-Blake and prevent that try was, you know...
Oh, my goodness.
You'd never think that you'd see that from Savage a year
Play
ago.
Play of the game.
And here's the other Savage thing. Kotrick's right there. He actually...
I know.
Savage chases him all the way to Kotrick's side of the field, and Kotrick's kind of just standing there not really doing anything. He doesn't even go in for the tackle.
One of the greatest things that we've seen all season is Savage's ability to find his front compared to what last year, the year before. He's now finding the gap, that sort of half gap when he's taking that heavy run. And that's Hopewade's strength. It's also Hopewade's strength if he's on the wing. It's Rapiner's strength. You know, Hopewade does it better when he's on the wing. We have the benefit when we're coming out of deep yardage. When Hopewade is playing on the left next to Savage, because we have two players on the left that can do a dirty carry. The sad thing with Kotrick, he's got that huge body, but he gets turned over because he's so top heavy. And he did so many things right on the weekend, and his effort was fantastic on the weekend. And defensively, he was good on the weekend.
He was.
But he's still got that one or two mistake in him, like we used to say about Gawler.
Do you remember when Kotrick came in, right? His first year would have been 2017. I remember being amazed. He went through almost that entire season without a single error.
And he played, but he played on the left.
He caught everything.
And he was playing on the right.
He was incredible.
That's a big deal because the way he carried the ball.
It's sad that we'll never see that Kotrick again. That Kotrick's gone. And I would not be surprised if we don't see him in first grade again this year. I think he's...
Well, I mean...
Because another player that we didn't mention, right, who watched a New South Wales Cup on the weekend, Asamoah had another great game.
Asamoah was a good football player. And, mate, BJ Leilua was dropped for less.
Yeah. Well, you look at certain players that had a pivotal moment, whether it's, you know, Edric Lee dropping that... I mean, they were bigger games, but dropping that ball or Leilua or whatever. I've always had this theory that there's a certain point where you just do something... And it's the straw that breaks Ricky's back.
It's the dead to be straw.
And that's the
But if you're a coach, that's the thing, man. If you're a coach and you're like, I'll give you another chance, mate. I'll give you another chance. I believe in you. I'll give you another chance. And then at some point you're like, all right, mate, I can't keep giving you chances. Yeah. Like,
Edricks was a drop.
There's another young kid knocking the door down.
Asamoah was
fantastic.
Joey passes that ball and just keeps running his line. Latrell can't get there. We win the grand final. And that's why Joey went out there. And I think even Joey will argue with that one there. But with the Warriors game, like how it went, you're right. They came out of the blocks at a million miles an hour. And the fact that we withstood them as well as we did was really good. And then ground our way back into that match until such point that by halftime, I thought we were dominant in that.
Mm, we definitely
really
came right
wasn't
back into it.
Until that Tarpanay incident when the game changed back in their favour, but only for that 5-minute period. And after that, we were dominant again. We just couldn't crack it.
But here's the thing, and we said, you know, if you actually look at the periods where we were, where they were dominant, then we came back into it, and then they finished off again, was when Fenua Blake was on and off the field largely. The other person who we bagged in the lead up to the game and was their other prop, Mitch Barnett.
He was fantastic, mate.
Insane.
That's the best game Mitch Barnett's played, maybe in the NRL.
Yeah, because he hates Ricky. Like,
he hates Ricky.
Yeah, mate. Like, tip your hat. He was fantastic.
I know. I'm saying we bagged him, but this is the old thing where we bag a forward and they suddenly. But he played like 60 minutes and almost ran for like 200 meters. I looked at his stats, they were insane. The other player who. I said that I didn't hate this time last week. Well, I think I forgot because I do hate him, DeWiz. I mean, if he played for our team, sure. It's like Rappin, I'd love him. But God, he's a pain in the ass. But God, he had a good game. He's really found last couple of years at the Warriors, he's taken his game to a whole new level.
Since they've gone back to New Zealand.
Yeah.
So if you've spent a lot of time in New Zealand, you get it. Like there's a power in that country. There's an affinity, you know, like I'm telling you now, man, like if the Kiwi players that play for the Raiders, if they went back and played for the Warriors, they'd grow an extra leg or an arm because it's not easy growing up there. It's a pretty rural and slightly poorer nation than Australia. It's beautiful, but there's a lot going on there that's hard. And the players that come out of there often come out of adversity. And then when they get back to go, the opportunity to play there, they appreciate it. And then if you add on to that, that they had to play a season or two out of the Sunshine Coast during COVID, mate, those guys are just reveling in being home. And
yeah.
And if you're in New Zealand and you see like there's like a New Zealand, like Sky Sports 4 is the New Zealand rugby league channel, you get to learn about their stories. DWZ's wanted to play for the Warriors since he was a kid, but he had to leave. And he's got to go back. And when he got to tell his dad that he got to go back and play for New Zealand Warriors, his dad cried. And now his dad goes to every game. So it's a sense of pride.
Mm.
There's a certain point where playing for the Warriors is almost like playing for the All Blacks, mm-hmm. some of those guys. And you see it in the hard carries, man. Like the hard. And I hope we beat them in the grand final. They're my second favourite team. That's fantastic.
Oh, God, no. I thought we saw in two aging Kiwis in Rapana and DWZ the two best wingers in the game at the moment on that field, because some of the things DWZ did were just absolutely outstanding. And if he doesn't do them, they don't win, you know, and that's what it comes down to. And if Rapana doesn't do what he does, we might get beat badly. But, you know, they were just so influential. I thought, we got to look at who we thought the man of the match was.
Jordy Raps.
Yeah, it's Raps.
By a couple
I was going to say Jordy Raps because he had a great influence on the game and the result in general. But when I actually look back on it, I think the person who had the most impact on the result of that game and just kept trying to find a way to get his side over the line was, in fact, the video referee. So I'm suggesting that the $10 land speed record man of the match voucher actually goes to the video ref.
Have we worked out who it was?
When all others around couldn't find a way forward for the Warriors, he found a way.
Do you know the other one we had mentioned that was that challenge on Hudson Young for the strip? That was crap as well.
Yeah. Oh, look, mate, you're right. Jordy Raps, definitely man of the match.
That referee lost control of the game
and
it affected both sides.
Intimidating crowd.
37,000. Yeah. But like that play where they said Jackson Ford didn't play the ball properly that was a call against the Warriors. That was terrible. But
and I saw four or five in the match that were worse than that didn't get brought back for us and for them.
When DW's the winger came and blocked Matty Tomoko at the beginning of the game for the chaser, like that's one of the things that I'd love you guys to watch over the next few weeks is we're a side that's probably for a little while until maybe Seb Chris comes back and he's back this weekend and Ethan Strange finds his legs and maybe, you know, even later in the year, Chevy Stewart. But there's a certain amount of reliability that we're putting on our fifth tackle option, our kick, you know. We're either playing through the middle, face balls, or we're relying on a bit of a fifth tackle option or maybe the early ball to Tomoko. But I'm curious.
Or the savage tackle two kick.
I don't think the NRL has figured out how to properly police the kick chase and the blocking of the runner. You know what I mean? Like it's an absolute 50-50 call every time. That if I was a coach, I'd be telling my players, kick it up. Just kick it and run. And if someone touches you, fall over. Because there was a time when Matty Tomoko pushed over Roger Tuivasa-Sheck really early in the game. Tuivasa-Sheck completely cut across his line and blocked the runner. And Warren Smith called it out in the Fox call. And yet the referee's like, straight away. Yeah, love you, Warren. We're friends now, aren't we, Gory? But the next time when it came to SJ, it's a lottery that I don't think they've figured out. They haven't quite defined the rules on like what it means to be.
You don't know watching it. And the other thing is too is that you know as soon as they alter the rules, the coaches will find some new way of. It's a bit like the Mitch Kenny running sideways, you know, blocking thing that they reckon every team will be doing that this week. And why wouldn't you?
I don't have a problem with Mitch Kenny stuff. He's running, he's passing and keeping on his line the whole time he's doing it. I don't know what the hysteria is about.
If he stays on his line
that he's doing absolutely nothing wrong. He does not have to disappear. It very much annoys me on that. Look, just to close off the, you know, raking over that game. Look, what disappointed me about it was I thought we could have won that, been 3-0, and it would have made such a big statement. But what we need to also really look at, we've had two away matches out of the three games we've played. Our average score against after all three of those is 14 points against. That is top four defense.
Yeah.
Right there. So even though, you know, we only conceded 18 points, that's the most we've had scored. We've had two lots of 12 and 118 on us. If we keep down that path, good things are there. Look, but we have to look at, we're going to the Toxic Swamp this Sunday night, Shark Park. And, you know, it's a battle of the, you know, we hate them, they hate us. Isn't that right, Blake?
Yeah, well, we did have an incredible record against the Sharks up until last time we played them. Yeah, well, 9 in a row. I used to always DM Matt's mate, Brendan Cowell.
He's not there. But look, they're in strife. They've got nothing. They've got some big men problems. So they lost Dale Finucane to a facial injury. Toby Rudolph's done his ankle out. Royce Hunt. And so we don't get the big red versus
Big
Royce.
Well, we don't get it anyway because one of them's out injured and the other one's
not selected.
But then we got red.
Then we got Braden Hamlin-Ualee. He's out with a knee. TBC. So there's four of their big men who are not in the side, you know, like that's huge.
There's another big out is Nicra, who is still suspended this week. And he's been a real, he's a great player and he's always caused us massive.
He really is.
Especially against us, And we're playing $2.50. So even though we're not a gambling podcast.
It's ridiculous.
Load up, ladies and gentlemen.
Load up on that. Look, here's the thing, Alan Tung,
I don't sports gamble, right? But if I did, and I told this to a friend of mine, I would put money on the Raiders at $2.50 and also chuck in Matt Timico and Xavier Savage to score tries. And it works out, rounds out to about $14.50 that pays, that bet. So if you were to gamble, do so responsibly.
If you were.
Tim, put your $5 on that.
Don't. What could you be spending your money on otherwise? Look, the Raiders side, Jordan Rappen are back at fullback. We got Jimmy Schiller in the two jersey on one wing, Javier Savage on the other wing in the number five, Matt Timico and Sebastian Chris in the centres. Dr. Strange in the number six jersey with Jamal Fogarty in the seven. In the forwards, we've got Papali'i and Tapanay with Levi Island in between them. We got Hutto Young and Elliot Whitehead in the second row with Morgan Smithies at lock. In the on the bench, we got Tom Starling, Adam Mariota, Zach Hosking. Zach Hosking.
It's the new Crocker.
Yeah, yeah. And Pasami Solo rounding out the bench. For them, they've got William Kennedy, who I think we all know as a bloody star.
He's had a rough game. Had a very bad game against the Titans. I mean, they all did.
How are you going to do when the forward pack's getting absolutely rolled like they were? On one wing, they got Sione Katoa, who we know is to be good, and Ronnie Mulatalo on the other, who we also know is good. So their wings are fantastic. Their fullback's fantastic. Jesse Raymond won't let anyone down in a three jersey. But then they got Kale Iroh, who's in the four jersey because he's made room for, you know, he's 24 years old. He's come out of the Aorangi Bears in New Zealand, Cook Islands international, this lad.
Related to the Iroh family of fame, I'm sure. I think he's nephew.
Oh, of course. No. Then in the sixth jersey, we've got Braden Trindle. In the seven, we got Nicho Hynes, who last time when we played them in Canberra, I think, Blarko, you and I, you were sitting next to him. He was outstanding. His kicking game, there's a couple of times they were in trouble. He did kicks that put us in trouble from the other end of the field. He just did really well. So he can do
gotta
what he
put,
wants. Fantastic.
Got to put pressure on him as John Bateman did. He kicked out in the full.
You do. Well, and then their forward pack. Tommy Hazleton in the number eight jersey with Oregon Kafusi in the 10. In between them is Brake Braley. I think we can officially call him Brake Braley now, can't we?
Yeah.
Then you got Talakai in the second row, number 11, and then Teague Wilton in 12. Cameron McInnes making up the pack with his 13. On the bench, Danny Atkinson in the 14 jersey, Jack Williams in the 15, Billy Burns playing his second match in the 16, and Hal Tupua is in the 17
Big
jersey.
Big Tooks. I listen to the Sharks podcast because those guys blow up. I mainly listen to them after they've lost a game like the one against the West Tigers because they just absolutely lose their minds and melt down. But Jack Williams, they rate very highly. He played in the second row last week against the Tigers, but he's now gone back to the bench where he does his best work. He had great impact all through 2023 season coming off the bench for the Sharks and playing through the middle. Do you know much about Jack Williams, Tim?
Oh, masses, but I'll let you talk about it, Blake.
He's from Cooma. He was the Raiders.
Stallion.
He was the Raiders NYC Player of the Year in 2016.
Right.
And Big Ball Tom Hazleton is, of course, from Goulburn. And he was brought to the club by the famous Gavin Miller, the famous Goulburn publican.
Big Gav.
One of the greatest sharks
of all time. Gav Miller, how good's he?
He was unreal. He was just running around in the local comp and Gavin called his contacts at the Sharks and said, take a chance on him. But look, you look at these teams and you think we've got a massive, you know, opportunity in the forwards. We thought that last week
not,
as well.
Not just the forwards. No, we didn't think it last week. I mean, maybe we said something last week, but we were hoping that we could get over them when the bench rotation came on.
Yeah.
And
we probably did.
Mitch Barnett played the game of his life.
Yeah.
But this weekend, one of the things that the Sharks have tried to do this year is to shore up their end of season and the way that they match up to the top six teams in the competition, because they can't beat top eight teams, but the way that really match up to the top six, they never beat a top six team for two seasons in a row, and was to shore up the middle. So they went out and they bought Adam Fanua Blake, but they've really put a lot of energy into the way that their middles get tough. They're all gone. And like, I don't mind watching Nicho Hynes. He's an electric football player to watch. And if you follow Supercoach, you'll love him.
And he's easy on the eye.
But he cannot play off the back of a shitty pack. Fogarty can. And we should flog this team this weekend. And I would never say this, and I don't know if I've ever said it on this podcast, but we're playing that well and we lost on the weekend. But we're one of the top four teams in the competition the way that we're playing at the moment, easily. Mm-hmm. The Roosters are there. I think so. And I watched the Sharks play the Warriors because I was in New Zealand opening round when they won. They were shit. They were terrible, man. And the referee got them back in the game. And then they were lucky to beat Canterbury. And then They were flogged by Balmain. So, yeah.
And here's a bit of rugby league maths for you, Matt. We beat the Tigers by 20, and they lost to the Tigers by 30. Could be Raiders by 56 this weekend. That's all I'm saying.
There you go.
Rugby league maths.
So. It could. It
never fails.
And I for the first time, and I'll probably get proven wrong, but for the first time in years as a Raiders fan, I feel confident in knowing that the performance we're going to put out, the effort, the lack of mistakes, you know, like we went up against maybe the most hostile environment anyone's going to face outside of State of Origin this year when we went to Christchurch. There was 36,000 people.
Wasn't that many?
Against us. Yeah, I think so. Let's look it up.
It was 26. But that's
there was 76,000 people there this week.
They're the ones that 26,000 paid, but another 10,000 jumped the fence.
Matthew, can I just clarify? You just said at the moment we're one of the top four sides in the comp. You just said that, didn't you?
By form, 100%.
Right.
We are
right. So you're then saying to go against me saying that we're going to end the season in top four is that this form is going to fall away and you don't believe it? Or alternatively, you're recanting. You're saying you agree with me.
No,
Where are you on this one, Matthew?
I feel like we are one of the top four performing and top four coach sides at the moment in the competition. Mm-hmm. I don't think we have the top four talented squads in the comp. And I don't know whether the other, you know, eight supposed top four opportunities sides can get there. But I tip my hat to Ricky Stewart and his coaching staff to getting this squad humming like the most professional squad in rugby league at the moment. I look at the Roosters. I look at us. People are talking about Manly, Parramatta. Yep. Penrith. You know, the Warriors are very unlucky to be where they are. They've been fantastic.
Yeah. They have been very good.
But the Cowboys haven't been that good.
No, but they haven't had to play anyone that good. And I look at the Cowboys
now. You just got to win the matches you can win. One of the things that's going to play into this weekend, of course, is the officials. And we've got Todd Smith back, who I think is really finding his feet as a ref. We've got the young lady on the wing, whose name completely escapes me all of a sudden, married to Gavin Badger. Casey Badger on the wing. And then we've got Ziggy on the other wing. But bad news, people. Do you know who's in the bunker?
Your mate?
Yeah, not my mate.
Jerry Sutton, mate. Jerry Sutton. The video ref last week was Matt Noyan. I just looked it up.
Who? Yeah, Matt Noyan. Decent. He's a very good touchy, and he's been coming up as a ref. But yeah, no, weren't happy.
I don't mind Jerry Sutton as the video ref, I've got to say. I don't mind it.
I prefer Casey Badger personally.
The problem that the rugby league has right now isn't necessarily who's in the bunker. It's the structure that they have, just like what Blake was talking about earlier, that you have to send it up. No, I get it. When we first had the TMO or the video ref, whatever they called it, you know, 7 years ago, 10 years ago, and you didn't have to send up with a result, suddenly we were looking at the KFC thing for like 3 minutes and it was
boring shit. Zorba the Greek could start playing on the ground. It was great.
So they rushed it, right?
You know what I used to love, though,
But it's like the LBW in cricket. You don't need to rush it. Just get the right result. Get the right result. If we did that, Tarpany scores the try on the weekend.
What I used to love at Bruce Stadium, and, you know, when they used to have the five-minute bits of Zorba the Greek playing, and before they introduced the bunker, the video ref would be up in a box in the grandstand, and we'd all try and turn around and try and like intimidate him into like say, "Ed, come on, it's a try." And they got rid of that. That was fun.
Okay, but it is time for the most popular segment on the show: the extended bench. Who's on the extended bench? Well, for the Raiders, we got Big Trey Mooney in the 18 jersey. Ooh, we got Big Red, Corey Horsburgh, in the 19 jersey. We've got Kayo Weeks in the 20 jersey. We've got Zach Wolford in the 21. And we got Nick Kotrich in the 22 jersey. So, look, we've got, how many we've got? We've got 1, 3, 3.5, 4. I reckon we've got 5 Hardwicks on that bench. They've got Jaden Beryl, Blake Hosking. Of course, that's Zach's long last half brother, I believe. Is that right?
No, Blake. No relation.
It's not Zach's. Not Zach's. No. Okay, Samuel Stone Street.
Yeah, he's probably. I know all. It's a weird thing is I know all the South's New South Wales Cup players because I listen to a Sharkcast.
You mean Sharks?
What did I say? South's Sharks.
Fins up.
Fins up.
Turn Jets.
Fins up.
And then we've got, we actually do have Hepapura's twin brother in the 21 jersey.
He found out that he was his twin brother.
So is he left
an hour ago when I told you, didn't I?
It was a little bit longer than that. Well, must have, because he seems to be playing the Sharks. And then you got Max Bradbury in the 22. So long story short, the Raiders win the extended bench. I think that's fairly clear.
What was your question, mate?
Has Puru's brother also left Penrith?
Yeah. So they left at the same time. And he signed for, so he's a half.
Yeah.
And they left and one went last. They went. So they played against each other a couple of times in New South Wales Cup last year.
That's really good for us.
And they'll
that's
be
really
playing,
good for us.
They'll be playing again against each other this weekend. Presumably, I don't know, does Trey Mooney stay 18th man? Or
yeah,
do you think
they haven't changed the 18th man? So this week, Smokey. There will be no Smokey. It's 1 to 17 people, and Trey will be the 18th man.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure that he will be the 18th man, because it makes more sense to me to have an outside back as your 18th man. Because generally, you know, if there's multiple HIAs, and we had a discussion about this the other week after the Seb Chris thing, when the 18th man could come in. I actually looked it up. So if Rapa passed his HIA, if he had failed his HIA, then we could have brought in the 18th man, which would have been Nick Cotchin.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. But the issue is this, is Hosking is now fast enough to go into the centres and allow the shift that way. So he is seen as the extra back. He is seen that way. And at a pinch, Starling can do, is fast enough. I mean, whether you want him out there or not, there is some speed that we haven't had. So I just don't see that changing.
KO Weeks is the perfect 18th man. Place
yeah, maybe.
Half. When do you want Starling to go if he comes on, for like out in the wing, Adam Mariota style?
Yeah, that'd be fantastic. That'll work. No, who is no? That was
not
Adam Mariota. It was
Adehinganu.
Adehinganu.
I'm still scarred.
A great name for the club.
I'm still scarred.
We're talking about still scarred. It's time to rip in with Arnie J.
G'day, Raiders fans. Bit of a tough loss to swallow last week with some dud bunker action, but that's life away in the NRL at times. I can cop the argument that Strange was a 50-50, but not Tarpany after about 20 or 30 replays. It looks like a clear try for mine. Shout out to our old mate Aiden Caesar. He steered the Tigers around like an experienced coach and made them look a much better side. Definitely some potential to get their fans excited. So on to this week. The Sharks have some good team stats worth noting. They're second in the comp for tackle bus at 36 a game, fifth in the comp for kick return metres, and second in the comp behind us for total kick metres. So we need our markers to get up quick and put pressure on their kickers. They are mid-table for all run metres, but we have Finucane, Royce Hunt and Toby Rudolph out, which will really help us. So I expect a really simple game plan again from us. We have an opportunity to really smash them up front, which should make Trindle and Hines very easy to handle. Kennedy had his worst game I have ever seen, so we need to keep an eye on him as he might bounce back. We are early in the season, so dealing with small sample size issues, but already the Sharks have conceded 44% of their tries on their left. So let's get Tim McCaw lined up with early ball one-on-one. It's a long wait for 6 p.m. on Sunday, but enjoy your weekend and go, you green machine.
It's the insight. It's the insight that he brings to this show that is why we are the podcast that's formerly known as the third most popular Raiders podcast on the internet. And, you know, you can't get over that sort of stuff, can you? It's insight.
I'd like to know what his family thought of him growing up. It's concerning.
Well, I don't think they're going to comment because he'll shiv them again. No doubt. He'll do that. But
he's
it's
strange.
Time for...
He's strange.
Like, you're busting my vibe with the singing. Are you ready? Ooh, it's got a lift. Ooh. You guys suck. You guys absolutely suck. There was no effort in that whatsoever. In fact, Blake, you're having a hissy fit again, aren't you?
No, I'm all right.
You're all right. All right. Well, this week, my who's got a lift, it's fairly straightforward. I have wanted to see Schiller back in the side for a fairly long time. I've been pushing for it. He has been going ridiculously well. I want him to go out and seize this opportunity and make that spot his own. That's what I want to see. That's my who's got a lift. Who have you got?
Your who's got a list harsh. Your who's got a list harsh. Going off a player that's come up from reserve grade. I'm going to jump in front of Blake. Mine's Pasami Saola. So if he's kept his spot over Emre Guler, then I think he needs to prove more to keep Horse out. I'd love to see Horse back as soon as possible, or even Trey Mooney. And you know I live on Danny Levi Island. I'd like to see Levi.
Danny Levi Island.
I'd like to see Danny also have a great game and shut some people up. When I first watched that game, a couple of his passes went to ground, and I kind of blamed him. And upon review, they weren't all his fault. And he put so much effort in defence. But I'd like to see I'm talking too long now. I'd like to see – actually, let's call it as it is. Pasami Saola and Hudson Young.
Hudson Young is a good call. He had a bad miss. I mean, people kind of saying that was Hosking's fault for the try where Metcalf.
No, it was Hutto.
Hutto mops up a lot in defense when it gets like scattered defense, and he's like either
what
in
I'm
the
talking about,
on
Tim,
the left or the
Tim,
right.
What I'm talking about is so the Metcalf try, one where DeWiz ran across the field. Hosking got blamed for that, but he bit in, but it's hard to defend when there's no structure coming at you.
That's a broken play.
It's chaos. Yeah. It's chaos. So he sort of bit in a bit.
Was it? He was running across in front of a set line.
Yeah, and then
it wasn't a set line. It was a broken play after the tackle went.
And then the other thing is, we saw it at Canberra Stadium last year when Metcalf is coming in against the grain. That close to the line, he's so fast and so hard.
He's so quick. He's so quick.
The one I was talking about,
he's a very good player.
The one I was talking about, Hudson Young miss was the one on RTS. He got shrugged off pretty easily, which came after Nick Kotrick's drop kick. Yeah,
first try.
Yeah, so Hutto, you got a lift. You got a lift.
You do. You got a lift.
What I've noticed is how different are we when we have like just a really simple but dynamic line runner in Hosking on one edge. Like we know, you know where he's going to run, and he can play late, and he can also he's got good hands, and he runs a hard line, or he can decide to pass late. Hudson is so dynamic as a one-on-one player. He's so dynamic as a personal like wrecker, and he drops in, and we've said this for years. And he gets his big bumper bars up and he bashes guys. But he doesn't create off just a very predictable line. Like, don't get me wrong, I'm not dismissing the guy. There was a few times on the weekend when Tarpany or Papali'i made a half break and they kind of got their arm free. Mm. And the only guy there was Hudson Young. The only guy there for the half offload was Hudson Young. And we could have scored two or three times in the first 20 minutes if they just got that little ball free. But playing off him must be really difficult.
Yep.
Just like it is tackling him, you know? We're learning now playing off a Hosking or playing off a Fogarty.
Yeah.
You can set structure to it, you know? Like you look at the way the Warriors play, like the way that they set to Fanua Blake on the right edge or the Jackson Ford hard inside shoulder run. Jackson Ford does that every time. So they know they're going to get the depth outside on that back play. Where if you're Seb Chris playing outside Hutto, it's got to be tricky, you know? And you might get the early ball. And people, and I've listened to the other podcasts, people blame, you know, Hopewadi, and they blame people for not getting Savage early ball. It's not easy, man. Like early ball, they try to get Savage early ball three times on the weekend off scrums. And each time DWZ just slid and shut him down. And I'm telling you, the reason why we've now got Schiller playing is and why I think Hosking might end up starting is because of the way that we're defending and the catch and release. But I'd love to see Hutto take that next step. And I'm talking way too much now because I've actually had an extra drink and we're all
starting. Oh, that's very good. Well, there are.
Just let me finish real quick, Port. Real quick. And if you listen this far, you probably love the Raiders and love the show. But we all love Hutto, right? And we all love the Horse. And they're almost like elite players, but they're not. And when they've both got their chance to go to State of Origin, they've slightly underwhelmed. Now, I love Hudson Young, but when he went to State of Origin, he wasn't quite the best player in the, you know, there, right? And I'd love to see him get back there, but he's now behind maybe like Liam Martin, Olakau'atu, Olakau'atu's killing it, you know?
Yeah.
And Horse the same. Like, and I'd love to see Horse step up and become like this crazy damaging middle. But there's something that's just missing. And we saw Hutto hit those levels 18 months ago, and he's kind of plateaued. But I really want to see him, like, just figure it out, because he's got the skills. He really does. Anyway, I'm gibbering on. But
there are, in fact, reasons to be cheerful.
Reasons to be cheerful, part three.
And the major one is, for some reason, we're still under the radar that we're not the favourites for the Sharks match this weekend, which I find stunning. And the other one is our depth is just fantastic. What reasons do you guys have?
The cup side. The cup side's doing amazing. Super stoked that, you know, people like Adam Cook have come back and actually having a crack, and they'll also get a chance to maybe play first grade at some point. And no, the club's never been stronger. So
since the asterisks, since the Super League in the NRL era.
In the NRL,
you know, there, yes. In it's never been strong in there. My reason to be cheerful is, look, we've still been pretty fortunate on the injury front. I mean, we've seen halves yes. dropping like yeah. flies. If, you know, Jamal Fogarty was to break his foot or do his knee or something tomorrow, I'd be feeling a whole lot less cheerful. But right now, yep, we're having a good run with injuries, and that's what you need to go far in the comp. So hopefully I haven't just jinxed us and we keep it up.
Yeah, but we got merchandise.
Grab you if you hate Jordan Rapp and I hate you shirts from rugbyleaguemerch.com. It's now our second biggest selling t-shirt after the Raiders by 56 one. And what better time to grab one than, you know, celebrate the great man's 200th game. There's still Raiders by 56 beanies from landspeed.com.au. And we've also got some stickers coming soon too, which is very exciting. Ooh.
It's very, very exciting. Of course, if you're listening out there, subscribe on whatever platform you're on, subscribe and rate and review us. Now, you can say whatever you want. Put the most horrific words you can possibly say that you want, but give us a 5-star so we're at the top. So that would be good. It would be excellent. Anyway, coming up, we've got the Eels next Sunday at 6:15 p.m., the most desired spot, followed by the Titans the same time on the 14th of April on the Sunday evening at GAO before. On Saturday, the 20th of April, we go away to Suncorp and play the Broncos on a Saturday night. Any last thoughts, Blake?
We can win all those three games.
Absolutely. Yeah, Broncos, you know, without Reece Walsh, I think are very beatable. I think we can go up and do
how
a number
of them. How long is he going to be out for?
I think about 4 weeks.
And Para without Mitch Moses.
Yep. Yeah, and some people,
Gold Coast Titans some, without Tino.
Yeah. Like some people speculated that the Colonel might get a call up to the Eels, but I think there's a few players ahead of him, it seems. That yeah, is it Blaze? Is it Blaze Talangi?
Talangi.
Yeah,
Blaze Talangi.
Yeah, Blaze Talangi's got the spot, and yeah. There's also Dejan Arcee. Yeah. So I actually think that's really good for us. I think it's really good that we've identified someone that we want to bring into our club, mm-hmm. and that no other club is actually trying to give him a shot to, like, shop, you know, like to peruse him and, you know, like make him feel good. Yeah. So I feel like we might actually sign
Two more weeks until he can sign. After that, yeah. It's actually after that Sunday, the 14th of April game. That'll be round six. So
well, it's shocking that the Eels had him play 80 minutes in both of their trials in the halves, and now Blaze Talangi's playing. So I have a feeling maybe that deal's signed and sealed.
Yeah, well, it can't be.
The club is very confident it's signed and sealed. They're mate, not in any
I have
worry
a feeling
when
I raise it. I mean, I feel it can be. Like, why are they not starting him? Why are they not trying?
I think he's signed and sealed, and I think that's why he's doing it.
The other one that is getting a run this weekend. Brad Schneider has got the seventh spot for the Panthers. Yeah,
for the Panthers, we'll see how he goes. But it is an election year, and great friend of the show. Dennis Carnahan. Well, he's got an idea of who should actually be running in that election. Isn't that right, Blake?
Yeah, well, do you want a candidate that is going to deliver a Canberra new stadium?
Do you want that?
Do you want someone that also still believes in schools and hospitals?
Yeah, do you do want that?
Yeah, well,
that's right.
We'll have a listen, and maybe when it comes around to the Canberra election in October, vote for Rick.
Vote for Rick.
I feel sorry for those people there with the stench. I know people laugh at it, but we are the capital of Australia. The stadium people here are wonderful people. They, in Canberra, deserve a new stadium.
Rick for Canberra. Rick for stadiums. It's time to make it new. Rick says it's time. Time for Ricky to move up into politics. What better time than now? It's Ricky's time.
I'm educated in politics.
Rick for education.
I'm all for education.
Rick for hospitals. He's got his policies in line. It's Ricky's time. Rick for concerts. Rick for public transport. Take the people home. It's Ricky's time. Rick for common sense.
Have some common sense.
Rick for working hard.
Working their butts off.
Like Osborne and Lazarus, it's Ricky's time. Rick for Texas.
47 Texas.
And overhead projectors. He can't do any worse than Mel. It's Ricky's time.
There's a person out there. I'm bugging it.
Rick for clangers.
Some refereeing clangers.
Rick for cakes.
I'll tell you, that takes a cake.
For accountability. It's Ricky's time.
Well, I'm accountable. I'm going to see you every friggin' week.
Rick can get it started. The Ricky Stewart Party. From players to the lunch, it's Ricky's time. Rick for Canberra. Rick for stadiums. Ricky Stewart for PM. It's Ricky's time.